Benjamin Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." I'm sure you've heard that phrase, but you may not realize that it's a crucial insight into good money management. Hi, I'm Rob West, and just ahead, I'll explain why that's so. Then the floor will be open to your financial questions. The number is 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Thanks so much for being with us. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, on Mondays, as we start our broadcast week, we sometimes like to go back to basics and talk about one of the five things you can do with money. Let me review those. You can earn money, you can live on it, you can give it away, you can owe it to someone or to the government, and you can save and invest it to grow it for the future. So those are the five: earn, live, give, owe, and grow. Today, I want to focus on the first of those, earning, but I want to do so in a non-typical way. You know, normally when you think about earning, you think of getting a paycheck or perhaps receiving a pension or a benefit. But I want to home in on Ben Franklin's words that I quoted a moment ago, "A penny saved is a penny earned." Now, if Mr. Franklin were living today, he might say, "A dollar saved is a dollar earned," but the principle is the same. What old Ben is getting at is that if you can avoid spending, it has the same impact as earning. Let me give you an example, and this is a real-life example from a MoneyWise listener. His monthly cell phone bill was about $125. He thought he might be able to find a cheaper plan, so he shopped around and compared plans offered by several companies. He found that one that met his needs was only $50 a month. So he made the change and thereby was able to save $75 a month on the cost of his mobile phone service. That works out to $900 a year. Now, to return to Ben Franklin's principle, saving $900 a year is equivalent to earning an extra $900 a year. In fact, it's slightly better than earning it, because if the employer of this MoneyWise listener paid him an extra $900, some of that money would have been taxed away. So $900 saved was a tad better than $900 earned. When looking at your overall financial picture, it's helpful to view things through this lens. Always be asking, are there steps I can take to cut my cost of living? If you can reduce your expense, whether it's by $900 or perhaps even more, that's just like earning extra money, or even better. Now, I know you're probably thinking, in a time of rapid inflation, how can I cut costs? Well, first, think about goods or services where there tends to be a lot of competition, such as cell phone service or, in some places, internet service. You might be able to get a better deal from your current provider if you ask, or you might save by switching to another company. But you have to take the initiative to shop around. What about insurance? This is an area in which you might be able to save substantially by comparison shopping, not only for car insurance, but also homeowners insurance, or perhaps a Medigap plan or Medicare prescription coverage. It's not uncommon to find wide price variations in plans and policies that are quite similar. Another place to cut costs is at the grocery store. The fact is, some grocery chains are more expensive than others, typically because they offer more variety. Try buying all your staple items at a discount grocer, and your savings will really add up over time. Now, I'm not saying that all this is easy, but think of it this way. Let's say you spent an hour figuring out how to cut your monthly spending by $100. That works out to be the same as earning $100 for an hour's worth of work. That's not bad. Project that out over a year, your 1 hour's worth of work will pay a very good return indeed. Probably everyone listening to me right now would like to get a raise, and I hope you do get one, but a raise is something that's not going to happen very often. So think about the spending side of the equation. Ask, how can I, in effect, give myself a raise by cutting my costs? Now, you can't cut your expenses down to nothing. That's not realistic. But you may be able to cut more than you realize if you apply yourself. Don't give up without trying. Who knows how much you might be able to save? So when it comes to earning money, always consider both sides of the balance sheet. And remember the principle from Ben Franklin, "A penny saved is a penny earned." For more ideas that'll help you in five areas of money management, earn, live, give, owe, and grow, check out our website. We have plenty of free content that will help you along your financial journey at moneywise.org. I'm Rob West, and we'll be back with your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Everyone knows what it's like to run late. You're scrambling to get out of the house, running to the car, hustling to get you where you need to be. The book of Hebrews says that it's like striving to get to heaven. It's full of anxiety. It's exhausting. But Hebrews 4 tells us a better version. Christ has come. Christ has done the work. He has entered an eternal Sabbath rest, and now he offers that same rest to us. And then Hebrews says, strive to enter that rest. Odd turn of phrase, try hard not to work. Everyone in Christ has entered that eternal rest, and by faith we cling tight. Take heart, Christ holds us tighter. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. We've got a couple of lines open, perhaps one just for you. Again, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Arkansas. Patty, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hey, Rob. Okay, I sold my primary residence, and I realized $357,000. I know the IRS will let me take a $250,000 off of that before show capital gains, which will be like $107,000. So if I take that and add it with my adjusted gross income, I'm at like $119,000. Which is going to make me have $22,500 for federal and state, $6,400. So we're looking at $29,000 on my capital gains. I'm 66, and I really don't want to pay that much. I would rather put that somewhere else. I mean, is there, at my age, can I still do like a Roth IRA, a health savings account, Timothy Fund, or what can I do?
Yes. Well, keep in mind, this won't be added to your taxable income for the year. So basically, you will likely have a 15% long-term capital gain on that portion that's over and above your allotted exclusion of $250,000. So you file a single, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so if you have income between $41,600 and $459,000 in income, not the gain, just your taxable income, your adjusted gross income, then you'll pay a 15% long-term capital gain flat rate on that additional amount over and above $250,000. Is that the percentage you were using, or were you calculating it another way?
No, 15%. But you're saying I don't add the capital gains with my gross adjusted income?
No. So you're not going to pay federal tax rates on that as income. You'll pay capital gains tax rates, which is a flat 15% on the amount that you had in profit over the $250,000 limit.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so it's 15%, and there really is no way around that in the sense that you're going to pay that either way, you know, no matter what. So the question is then, how do we move forward, and you know, what opportunities do you have, you know, to save on taxes? You know, you could look at putting some money aside in a Roth IRA. That's not going to give you any kind of tax deduction, and you would have to have earned income in order to be able to do that. You could look at trying to, you know, bunch your giving if you want to, you know, get above the standard deduction and try to itemize your taxes, which would give you the ability, if you could do, let's say, multiple years worth of giving into a donor advised fund, claim it all in 1 year to try to get above the standard deduction and then kind of dole it out over time. You know, you could look at something like that, but there really aren't any other options with regard to, you know, minimizing that tax. You're just going to have to recognize that 15% in the year that you sold it, and there's no way to defer that or, you know, cut that down in any way. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. So I just need to go ahead and bite the bullet and pay that amount, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately. The good news is you get to keep 85% of it, and that first $250,000 you pay zero. So relatively speaking, given all the gains that you're going to have in this property, you know, I think it's a fairly small price to pay. I realize nobody likes to write any kind of check to the government if we don't have to, but it is symptomatic of God's provision, and I think the 15% on that amount over you know, $250,000 is a relatively small price to pay. So we always ought to be looking for ways to minimize that. And if you can find some ways like the options I mentioned, that's great. But apart from that, you know, I would just go ahead and set that portion aside, be ready to pay that, work with your tax preparer to make sure you are getting that gain as low as possible. And what I mean by that is make sure you're counting any kind of improvements that enhance the value of the property over time that could reduce that gain. Look at opportunities to claim any kind of expenses, certainly related to the sale, to reduce that gain. That's where a tax preparer, I think, could be really beneficial to you. But once you get to that final number, you are going to pay that flat 15%. To the extent you have that money available to do something with, then I think that's the opportunity to look at, you know, what your investing strategy might be. Are you going to redeploy that, Patty, into another home or anything else?
Oh, yeah. And that's the problem. It costs so much more to get a home that that's taking a big chunk out of me trying to buy another house. But I had to move because of my business.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't keep my other house, which is 2.5 hours away. So you can't even put it back in like kind. And, you know.
No, if it were, you know, a rental property, you could do a 1031 exchange and roll that into another similar rental type property to push that gain out. You would eventually have to recognize it, but you could kind of kick the can down the road. But with your primary residence, that's not an option. So anything above that $250,000, you're going to have to just go ahead and set that aside and pay that when you pay your taxes for the year.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, all the best to you, Patty, as you make that move. I know this is not something you're excited about doing, but we'll pray that the Lord gives you that right home as you get closer to your place of business. Thanks for checking in with us. God bless you. Let's see. Tennessee. Ed, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I'm 83 years old, and Dan Celia once said, put money away in your house, store cash in your house. Do you agree with that? And if you do, how much?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I like to not overdo this. I mean, I certainly understand the wisdom in it, and it's fine to keep some cash at home. I think you ought to think about the purpose of the money. You know, in my situation, I would be thinking about perhaps a bank networking glitch of some kind. It's unlikely, but if there was some sort of temporary disruption in the financial system or your particular banking network, it would likely be short-lived. So I would probably think in terms of up to 2 weeks worth of expenses in cash. That's generally the way that I would look at it. If you want to be more conservative, you know, you could think in terms of extending the number of weeks. But I would have some rationale behind why you're doing it and, you know, kind of target a specific amount based on that. Because in my view, getting, you know, well beyond that is, you know, a bit overdone. So, you know, how does that feel to you, Ed, in terms of thinking about why you would do it and then kind of backing into a specific amount?
Well, I don't really know. I have to think about it. Another thing is, are we going to have electronic money at the end of the year?
No. Basically, the Biden administration asked the Treasury to look at a central bank digital currency. They did. They issued a report. You know, the report was favorable as to the benefits. I would question that longer term, but they certainly don't want to see the cryptos continue to accelerate, although a lot of this recent crypto meltdown, I think, is going to squelch a lot of that. But I think it's only a matter of time before we'll have a digital currency that's backed by the U.S. Central Bank, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's years off, certainly not by the end of the year. Ed, thanks for listening and calling, sir. God bless you. We'll be back with more MoneyWise just after this. 800-525-7000. Stick around.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, I'm Rob West, host of MoneyWise. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a couple of lines open for you today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go to Oregon. Betty, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a tax / Social Security question. Last year, I converted some traditional, in 2021, tax year, I converted some traditional IRA to Roth. And so I had to pay the taxes on that, obviously. But then when I got the letter from Social Security saying what my benefits would be for 2023, they included all that amount as like it's regular income. It was a one-time occurrence. So I know there's some kind of a form that you can file, but I don't remember the name of the form or a number of the form and to whom I file it to, because I need to get that corrected, because they're thinking I'm going to be making that much more and I'm not. It was a conversion issue.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, you can always reach out to the Social Security Administration at ssa.gov and schedule an appointment just to understand the calculation and perhaps talk through things. But they're basing their estimates on your, high 35, your 35 highest years of earnings. And it's a look back, and they're estimating it based on that amount. So, did you do that conversion in this tax year or last year?
In 2021. And sir, I've been receiving Social Security for this year, but this is the new amount that they're projecting, given the increase that everybody's getting, the 8.7%, yes. Whatever the heck. Yeah. 8.7%. Yeah. And in that calculation, they included it. It said based on your 2021 IRS tax return, they're increasing my Medicare Part B, Irma, and my Part D, and it's all based on that 2021 filing, which included the conversion.
I see.
To the tune of $93,000, and I'm not making an extra $93,000. That was a one-time occurrence.
Yes,
is the thing, and so I need that corrected.
Yeah, I follow you. I would reach out directly to the Social Security Administration. You can schedule either a virtual or in-person meeting just to explain what you're describing here to me as to this one-time occurrence. It certainly is added to your taxable income for the year. And, that could be factored in. So I'm not aware of the specific form or process for making them aware of this one-time event. Have you reached out to them to try to have a phone call or schedule a meeting?
No, not yet. I was going to hopefully get the form number from you, but I will reach out to them directly and so that they know that they're basing their data on something that happened, a one-time occurrence.
Yes.
And when I did that, I was told by my tax preparer, it will affect your IRMA, and I fully expected that. But they said you can counter that by filing a form saying it's a one-time occurrence. It's not like,
yes,
I'm all of a sudden making that much more money income. I'm not.
Yes.
So,
yeah, it makes total sense. I'm following you now, but I would reach out to them directly. Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with the actual form number that you would file, but I am tracking with you, and I think it will be fairly simple to clear up. The biggest challenge you might have is just actually getting through and getting that appointment scheduled. They're very backlogged these days and still playing catch up from the pandemic. So just be diligent in your efforts to make contact, but I'm confident you can get the information information you need and get it squared away. Betty, we appreciate your call today. God bless you. We're going to head to Joe in Kansas City. Joe, how can we help you? All right. Looks like we let's try again. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. I retired 4 years ago. I'm now 71. And at that time, I began receiving a pension, a small pension monthly from a company that I worked for early in my career for 15 years. Now they're dissolving the pension plan, and I have to decide between a lump sum payment, which will entail paying 20% taxes, or take an annuity from a yet-to-be-determined insurance company. They said that it'll probably be 2 more months before they will know which company, so I don't know the solvency of that company. So I wanted to see what your recommendation was.
Yeah, and how long do you have to make this decision, Joe?
I have to let them know by December 2nd.
Okay, so you won't have the information on the annuity prior to making that decision?
Correct. And I did ask in the company meeting that they had, I did ask about that and said that it felt like it was, we were being asked to make a decision without full disclosure. And they didn't respond.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. So you don't know what the annuitized amount would be if you elected the annuity option?
Well, they're telling everybody that it will be the same amount monthly that we are getting now.
I see.
It's supposed, our pension was supposed to be for life. And I think that's everybody's question, is the solvency of the company for the rest of our lives.
Yes. And what is the amount you're receiving now monthly?
After taxes, I get about $500.
Okay. And what are they offering you in terms of a lump sum payout?
About 70.
Okay, and that's before tax, is that
right? I'm 70,000. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you were to have 56,000 and we were to pull 4% a year out of that and you were to invest it, you know, you'd only end up with about $186 a month. Now, you would still have your principal intact, where in this case, you're giving that up in exchange for $500 for life. And I assume that's on your life only and doesn't extend beyond that. Was that communicated to you?
Yeah, correct. I just have the single plan.
Yeah. So if you wanted to go from 186 a month on that 56,000 after tax up to 500, you'd start eating into the principal. And, you know, you'd just have to recognize that, but at least you'd have access to the money. Are you really counting on this 500 a month right now? You know what? Let me ask you to do this. I've got to hit a quick break, but I want to continue to process this just a bit more. So if you'll stay on the line, we'll do it just on the other side of this break. Joe, you stay right there and we'll be right back on MoneyWise.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'll apply the wisdom from God's Word to your situation and see if we can help you move forward in your financial decision-making. The number to call today with lines open is 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Joe in Kansas City. She's been receiving a pension from a former employer for quite some time at the tune of $500 a month. She's been notified that she has the option either to roll it out to an annuity that would continue at that same level of monthly annuitized payments for the rest of her life, or receive a lump sum to the tune of about $70,000 before taxes. She's trying to determine before the end of the year which decision she'll make, and they say that she won't know which insurance company will be providing the annuity prior to the decision. Joe, I think my only concern, as much as I love to for you to have control of this money and take the lump sum, is that, you know, if you look at the amount you're getting, $70,000 minus taxes, let's say you end up with about $56,000. If you continued pulling that $500 a month, that's about 11% a year, which means that in 10 to 11 years, if it were invested conservatively, you would probably have exhausted that full amount, even if you were earning 4 or 5% a year on it. And so that money would be gone in that period of time. And then, you know, you lose your income source at that point versus being able to count on this $500 a month. And I realize there's some degree of uncertainty about that, but you know, the insurance company failing is very low in terms of risk, just given the other safeguards and safety nets that are in place to protect that. So if you're counting on that $500 a month to really meet your monthly expenses, and this isn't just surplus, is probably, given the amount and the length of time before you would run out of that money, it's probably a little safer to at least know that if the Lord were to tarry and you're in good health and you live, you know, another couple of decades, that that you'd have that income to count on. Do you follow?
Yes, I do, and that makes sense. What I've done the last 4 years is I've just used that pension money to go into an online savings, and I've used that as my emergency fund to build up the emergency fund and to handle major expenses, because I had to move and had to buy a house and stuff. So now that I've kind of settled in with all of that stuff, I just made the decision before being notified about the pension to back off of my IRA distribution, leave that in the investments, and to start using the $500 pension more as a live-on, so that I'm saving the IRA
investments. I see. Yeah, especially now while this market's down. Well, I think that's something to consider, you know, as you look at your overall strategy, because if this truly was surplus, then you'd have the option to take that lump sum, pay the tax, and then just let that sit there and continue to grow on a conservative basis, which gives you the opportunity to tap a larger amount if you needed it for some unexpected event or a medical event, something like that, as long as you're not depending on it. But if you are depending on it for, you know, a portion of your to cover a portion of your expenses, then I think that's where it's a little less risky to say, okay, at least I have this guaranteed payment for the rest of my life that helps me meet my obligations, and I don't have to worry about that running out. I think that really is the decision point. As much as I'd like for you to have the lump sum and kind of be in control of it, it really does come down to just your peace of mind and your ability to, you know, fund your expenses if you were to live, you know, to age 95 or beyond. You follow?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. These are all really good points.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, I would ask the Lord to give you some wisdom on that. If you want an advisor to just kind of look at the whole thing, Joe, and you don't have one, you could reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Kansas City, perhaps just pay for a few hours of their time to help you do some planning, to look at your IRA, look at the investments that you have, look at this annuity option, perhaps help you kind of put a financial plan together across all of it. Even if you continued on the track that you're on and you didn't need somebody to manage any of this money for you, just doing some planning between now and the end of the year, I think would be time well spent and perhaps give you a little more peace of mind as you're making this final decision. You just head to our website. Again, if you don't already have someone, just click Find a CKA when you visit moneywise.org. You could find, you know, several there in Kansas City. Find the one that you think is the best fit, and that wise counsel may be just what you're looking for at this point if you don't have clarity on where to go from here. We appreciate you checking with us, though, Joe. God bless you. To Virginia. Hi, Ashley. How can we help you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a quick question about a home equity loan. I don't know how they work. I don't know what, you know, kind of credit score or anything is required for them. But my question is, would it be wise or not wise to get a home equity loan at a lower interest rate to cover, to pay off a couple of higher interest rate debts?
Yeah, and these
my
are
goal
credit
would be
cards?
To save money monthly and to save money long term. No, they're not credit cards. One is a personal loan that we used for some home improvements that we had to do. And one is actually a vehicle loan. We're self-employed. My husband's a contractor and he needed a vehicle. And at the time it was after the recession and our, we had taken a hit. And so our credit wasn't all that great.
Sure.
So the loan, the interest rate is higher than we would like for it to be, but we were stuck. He had to have a vehicle in order to be able to work. So
yeah.
At the
has
time,
that credit score improved since then, Ashley?
It has improved. We're probably both. It's not great still, but we're working on it. We're mid sixes.
Okay. All right. And what is the interest rate on the vehicle loan?
It's high. It's over 20%.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And what about that personal loan?
It's 17-ish, maybe.
Okay. And is it collateralized by the house?
No.
Okay. And have you, what is the balance on that personal loan at this point?
The balance on both of them together is around less than $20,000.
Okay. And how much are you putting toward it? Just the minimums? Do you know how quickly you'll have them paid off?
No, we pay both. We pay extra on both of them.
Okay.
I'm really working on paying more every month on both of these loans to try to get them paid off sooner and to pay less, you know, overall on the total of payments.
Yeah. What do you project it'll take if you're realistic about the payback? Do you think it'll take 3 years?
Hopefully less than that. I mean,
okay.
I would hope that I could do it in less than that.
Yeah. You know, it's really just going
to, you know, we're making money, you know, now, but I'm trying to think of you know, the interest. Yeah. It's just painful to pay those high interest rates.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, those are very, very high. You know, you certainly could look at a home equity loan. I think the key is going to be, number one, I don't want you to string this out a lot longer. The tendency would be to get a loan and kind of push the repayment period out, which even though you're bringing the interest rate down, may cause you to end up spending more in the long run. If you're committed to sending more every month and staying at that current payback, then it just becomes a math equation. And the question would be, can you, with your current credit score, get it down low enough on the interest rate that after the expenses of the home equity loan, you come out ahead? We just need to do that math and figure that out. Let's talk a bit more off the air, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Had the chance to talk a bit more with Ashley off the air, and she's going to look at what the total expenses would be of a home equity loan at bankrate.com in terms of the actual term she could receive with her husband and her credit score being a bit low still, even though it's coming up, to determine what are we going to pay to get this home equity loan. And given our current payback trajectory, even at a slightly lower rate from the current rates we have, how much total outlay are we going to have? And then compare that to the amount of interest she'll spend over the next 2 to 3 years on the current payback plan, and just see at the end of the day which is going to be more cost effective. The other consideration is just currently those loans are, one's personally guaranteed but no collateral, the other's collateralized by the car, and we're moving that to the house. So if there was a major disruption in pay and there was a default, now all of a sudden we're putting our house at risk. So given that extra risk, we better have a pretty significant payoff in the end, you know, to make that worthwhile. So she's going to look at all of that and then make that decision. Before we go back to the phones, which, by the way, we have a few lines open at 800-525-7000. It's Monday. We're beginning a new week. And whenever that happens here in our final segment of the broadcast, we're joined by our good friend Bob Dahl. Bob is Chief Investment Officer of Crossmark Global Investments. He's a frequent contributor on Fox Business. His weekly investment commentary is sought after up and down Wall Street. I know I look at it weekly. And Bob, we're always grateful for your insights. Good morning.
Same to you, Rob. Good to hear your voice.
And you as well. Bob, coming off Thanksgiving, coming off Black Friday, what are the markets looking at this week? It was green across the board to start. It seems like that's reversed. Where do you find us?
Yeah, we had a good week for the markets last week, so a lot of seasonal strength, typical around Thanksgiving. And now the market's, digesting one more time. The economy's slowing. Yes, inflation's getting better, but it's still problematic. Maybe earnings estimates are too high. And so this waffling back and forth, I think, is probably likely to continue. As we're seeing, I'm looking at my screen right now, it's about half red and about half green.
Yeah. Interesting, Bob. What is the current data or the emerging data about the Black Friday sales, and is the market happy with consumer spending?
Yeah, reasonably so. The Black Friday was pretty good from a volume standpoint. Profitability was more mixed. But the consumer question is more about how much excess savings do they still have from the pandemic? How much have they drawn that down? Credit card balances are moving up, so a lot of people are using the plastic and not necessarily paying it off. So you've got a lot of cross currents with the consumer having come from a very strong position. The question is, how much and how fast is the consumer weakening?
Yeah. Obviously, all eyes continue to be on the Fed. I'm not sure that's ever going to change as we just look at the importance of the Fed moving forward. What are you seeing there in terms of both the monetary tightening as well as the prospect of easing off the gas pedal on these interest rate hikes?
So I say three things. Number one, not talked about enough, is the money supply. The money supply year over year peaked at 25% growth at the end of 2021, and now year over year, Rob, has turned negative. That is a contractionary sign. Two, Fed interest rates themselves that we talk about, the Fed funds rate. It's going somewhat higher, maybe not a lot higher. But remember, they've done a lot in a short amount of time, and the lagged impacts from that on our economy are unknown and still to be felt. And the third thing I'd say is, remember, the Fed bought a lot of bonds, and so they have a big balance sheet that they have to unwind. So we've got three variables when often we just focus on one, and that complicates things.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting, Bob. Obviously, we're hearing a lot coming out of China. I'm just curious your thoughts there on these protests, whether that'll have an effect on the COVID lockdowns, and are we at risk here in the U.S. if this really continues to make have a major impact on their economy?
Yeah, so the unrest in China is not something we hear about very often, so it has to be taken seriously. The Chinese population tends to understand that their government can rule with an iron fist, and so challenging that is pretty rare. It's part of why the market's struggling a little bit today, worried about what will come out of China. Already, the economy in China has weakened noticeably, and being the size that it is, it's so influential on so many other parts of the global economy. And so it is something to be concerned about. In terms of the COVID situation, you wonder, is this another wave of the numbers that you see are, yes, cases in China are up, but severity seems to have fallen. And we've seen that over recent months in the U.S. There are cases, but they tend to be not as severe as kind of the first round a couple of years ago.
Yeah. All right, that's helpful. Last question, Bob. I know you said in your investment commentary this week that the U.S. is really poised to underperform in the next decade. As folks are thinking about withdrawal rates, perhaps they're in a retirement season, or maybe they're just planning for the next, 20 years of growth for their important retirement account that's going to be their source of income in the future. Does this cause you to encourage folks to perhaps rethink what their expectations were?
So I think expectations need to come down. We got so used to, prior to the last year when we had this horrible bear market, we got so used to big returns from stocks and bonds. And I think the first lesson is, don't expect that going forward. It's going to be much tamer and bumpier up and down. Second, in talking about the U.S. underperforming, doesn't mean the U.S. is going to go down. It's just likely in this environment where the U.S. has been so strong in the last 10 years that our stock market perhaps takes a little bit of a side seat to some of the other markets in the world. And that's a long-term observation. At the moment, the U.S. is still performing as well as most other places, Rob.
Yeah, very good. And probably makes the case for why you'd want managed money, somebody really pulling your investment portfolio together and making buy and sell decisions as opposed to maybe a passive strategy in the next decade.
Yeah, when returns are lower, that tends to be an environment where active management does better. In other words, if the market's going up 15% a year, who cares if I get 14.5 or 15 or 15.5? Just be exposed. In an environment where returns may be closer to 5%, well, now all of a sudden somebody who's giving me 3 or 4 is very different than somebody's giving me 6 or 7. So I think active management will play a much bigger role in the next 10 years than they have in the last 10 years.
Very good. Always grateful for your insights, Bob. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more or sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations, his weekly investment commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones here in our final segment today. We've got room for perhaps one more question. Maybe that's yours. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's head to Indiana. Pam, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was calling to ask a question. I sold my home in North Carolina last year, and of course, we didn't have a mortgage. We had paid off our mortgage, so we had all that money left. And then it took us 8 months to find a home in Indiana, and we have purchased another home. Do I need to use any of that money that we got from the sale of the other home on my taxes?
Yeah, so this was your primary residence that you sold last year, is that right?
That is correct, yes. Okay. We had lived there 27 years.
Okay, and do you know what the gain was? You take the selling price minus the original purchase price, minus any improvements and transaction cost to sell it. It would be kind of do you have a rough idea of what the profit was?
Probably about half of what I got, yes. Sir.
Okay, which would be about how much?
About $40,000.
Okay, yeah. So the good news is if it was your primary residence that you lived in 2 out of the last 5 years, and it sounded like you lived there a lot longer than that, you would exclude up to $500,000 if you're married filing jointly. Up to $500,000 of the gain of your sale would be excluded. So if you had $40,000 or anything, beyond that, up to $500,000, you would not have any capital gain whatsoever, which means you'd keep 100% of that gain and you can do whatever you want with it. You don't have to redeploy it into another house, although you can, but there is no taxes that you would have to pay.
All right, and that's up to $500,000. That is good to know.
Yes, we'll take it, right?
Exactly. All right, well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. You do a great job.
Well, thank you, Pam. God bless you, and thanks for checking in with us today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, folks, we covered a lot of ground today, a lot of questions about capital gains, home sales, but we also talked about the market and how to pay back debt. You know, as we think about applying biblical wisdom to our financial decisions, we can actually make it quite simple. At the end of the day, we want to live within our means. We want to avoid debt. We want to set long-term goals. We want to have some margin. That is something left over after all the bills are paid. That's going to be critical to funding your longer-term goals and objectives, whether that's eradicating entirely your debt, maybe increasing your giving, or saving for the future. Finally, the fifth step, give generously. And in fact, that one should come first. And if we do those five things, we've at least put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll be back to do it all over again tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us. Let me say thank you to my team today. Couldn't do it without Jim Henry, my researcher, Devin Patrick, producer, and Pat Montague handling our phones today. Thank you for being along with us as well. We're grateful for your calls and your encouragement. I always look forward to this time with the AFR listeners. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again, and we'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.